is expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Travis?
No, you gotta give it Monty here. What? Good morning, Simon Mark!
And then fall out of your chair. Whoa, boom!
Yeah. I didn't want to take the wave from him. So
boom, shakalaka, boom.
Didn't want to steal my thunder, is that what you're saying?
Exactly, yes.
Well, I'm mouseless today, so I'm using my pad, which I never do because I hate. So I'm kind of fumbling around here a little bit to get the different things.
And as far as I know, we still do not have a chat room or website. Is that correct, Travis?
That is correct. Yes.
So, with that said, today is February 27th, 2022.
Wow.
Crazy. My name is Mark Kent. I'm here in the studio in downtown beautiful Reading with my cohorts, if you will. My sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everyone.
And the kid that rocks around the clock, blah, blah, blah.
Good morning.
That was real enthusiastic there. And the kid that rocks around the clock, blah,
well,
blah.
Well, I didn't do a Tom Slick cheer, but yeah. So, I'll tell you what, the news cycle has been so. You don't even know where to go anymore. I mean, there's so much propaganda. There's so much crap flying around. You know, it changes from day to day. We got an election coming in. You know, so it's like if they lose the narrative, what's the first thing to do? I got an idea. Let's have a war.
Sure.
You know, there's
is that what they always do?
There's three elements to this, but I want to go over two of them. And the biggest thing that I can see on this is, one, Russia had pre-planned this. We already know that the video that he released was recorded days earlier while he was telling his citizenry on RT News that he had no intentions to take Ukraine. The other side of this is we are in an election year. We know about the Hunter Biden Burisma thing. We know about everything that went on over in Ukraine. Donald Trump was impeached for even inquiring about what was going on with Hunter Biden and the Ukraine
thing. But now
it's
different.
Well, here's my point on it, because, all right, so Russia goes in, takes over Ukraine, kills everybody that basically had anything to do with that, and are we going to believe a Russian investigation into the activities that went on with Hunter and with Biden? Of course we're not.
I have an idea. Let's have a spelling contest.
I mean, it basically...
It's like, yeah.
The way that we've seen this transpire across these last years has been exactly the response Bill Gates gave when asked about Epstein. Well, he's dead, so there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, because there's no interviews anymore. You know, I mean, you're right.
Everybody's committing suicide.
Well, you're right. And then you got Biden that is just a meathead, sock puppet. It looks like just to give you an example here. Okay, so Biden diverts the Border Patrol agents from the U.S. border to the Ukrainian border?
Well, and mind you, during all this time, while they're doing this, you have the Keystone Pipeline that they're shutting down. You now have... Yeah.
That was the first thing he did.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you also have now, just days ago, during this whole situation with Ukraine, they said we're going to do no new fracking on any of the federal lands, which accounts for a vast percentage of our oil production here stateside. All right, so who can we rely on? You already screwed up our relationships with the Saudis. They're not going to give us any special favors or any deals. And if we have any problems with Russia, they're probably sure as heck not going to give us anything.
And let's protect the country in Europe's borders instead of our own.
Yeah.
Yeah, send our border patrol to there. And that's not even the area that they're encouraging on. I mean, you look at the Ukrainian border and the rest of it, and they're basically setting all these guys up, and we've been setting them up. We've been saying, oh, hey, Ukraine, you need to get into NATO. You need to do this.
Then I heard, too, this morning, and I haven't been following this very closely because I'm a little battle-weary at this point, but, now the other thing is that Putin's invading Ukraine because they've got nuclear weapons on the border there, and he doesn't want them there.
That's...
I don't know. All I'm saying is we don't know what's BS and what's not anymore because all we get is BS almost, you know. And you can't believe any stories that come out of AP, UP, MSLSD, or C, who are they?
And then Biden's up there trying to make himself look so good with the sanctions, which all are.
And he's out of touch with reality. And it looks like, they've made a couple of Freudian slips, Jen Psaki and a few other ones that, she's glad to serve under Obama. Now, you can't make this crap up. Now,
they must be drinking the same Kool-Aid.
I don't know what Kool-Aid they're drinking. But,
well, what it really comes down to for those Freudian slips is right now, what is the world's most expensive convalescent home?
I'm not sure where you're going with that.
The White House.
I was thinking. It's like, math problems were showing up around my head.
Seriously, you look at this. You've got Commander in Diapers right now that can't put together two sentences. He can't figure out where he's at. I mean, we've got literally, I kid you not, there is a video going around this last week of him trying to lead a blind person to where he's supposed to go, and he gets them both lost. I mean, the old joke of blind leading the blind literally was what happened. The Secret Service agent ended up stepping into the blind guy and started guiding him instead of...
He was more important than the president, you mean?
That kind of segues us right into our first video clip.
I'm curious now.
Okay, so this is Biden's leadership, and this is about the economy. I think we're ready to go. Hopefully, I don't have my mouse. Hopefully, this thing will work fine here. But let's see what he has to say about what's wrong with our economy.
I think one of the significant things we're going to find in 10 years from now is a phenomenal negative psychological impact that COVID has had on the public psyche. And so you have an awful lot of people who are, notwithstanding the fact that that things have gotten so much better for them economically, that they are thinking, but how do you get up in the morning feeling happy?
Okay.
That's funny. I was just looking at that headline about that.
So what he's saying is everything is so much better basically because of him, but these guys that are out there, the naysayers, are psychologically so affected that it doesn't matter what's going on, they just can't be happy when they wake up in the morning because the economy's just absolutely going great. I mean, how out of touch with reality? I mean, he's either, well, we know. I mean, what do you say? It's like that's so far out of touch with reality. The economy's great. That's why we've got homeless guys everywhere. That's why all the businesses are shut down.
Yeah, inflation is at 40-year high gas prices.
40-year highs in inflation, gas prices. But, the message I take away from that is, do you know what the problem is? It's us. It's not them. It's us. It's us out here in the real world every day trying to survive, working, buying groceries and gas. We're just not content, and nothing will make us happy. So this is all our fault.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly what we see from these people. Rules for you, not for me. If things are bad for you, that's your problem. If things are bad for me, I'm going to take it from you and make it mine. So yeah. I'm happy.
Just give me everything and it'll be okay.
We're just psychologically unable to feel happy anymore.
Well, I still want to stay on this Ukraine topic and this Russia topic.
Well, that kind of feathers in because now this is the same guy who's the commander-in-chief running the war.
But that's the thing. You when's the last time you've seen Camilla? When's the last time you saw her?
Who?
Camilla Harris.
Who's she?
Is mm-hmm. she still around?
Yeah.
I thought she was... Oh, never mind.
Well, we're not sure where she is, but...
This is my point.
Well, it's a long way to the top.
On January 6th, they weren't sure where she was either, interestingly enough. But the whole point of this to say, all right, we have a president that is clearly saying things that are just plain stupid that you don't want to say to the Russians, that is the inciting moment of this. I mean, it was just days before this happened that you had Biden come out and say, our American citizens should leave, and we can't put boots on the ground there, and that's war. We don't want that, and that where there's nothing that we can do. All right, well, if I'm Russia hearing that, you just said there's nothing you can do. Let's light this popsicle up, baby.
Well, you know, Biden wants to reduce our dependence on foreign oil by using green energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But that's what we're getting, is complete gobbledygook.
But at the same time now, we do have reports that Russia has advised 1,500 of their medical staff to prepare in Russia for a mass casualty event. We also have China, which over this last year has been advising their citizens to stock up on food and stores of wealth, and they themselves have prepared themselves with gold. They prepared themselves with commodities to the tune of like 86% of their stores are completely filled up.
Oh, it's just an archaic metal that has no value.
Well, and my point on all of this is, why would they be telling their citizenry to do that unless they were expecting something bad? So here's kind of, this is my opinion.
You got to be careful here. And I respect your opinion. I really do. Despite rumors to the contrary and my bad mouthing you at every opportunity. But what I'm saying is they leak so much crap
mm-hmm.
that they are trying to manipulate you with. And I have no doubt that that might be what they're saying. I don't think China cares an iota about their people retaining their wealth. I think that they care about their country as a whole taking over the world. So maybe there's something to this.
Agreed. And so my last week has been spent going and proxying out to these other nations to get information. Because America right now, if you're American watching an American news station, you're a mushroom.
So what does that mean? You're a fungi?
You're kept in the dark and fed a word we can't say on here that starts with S.
Yeah, there you go. Fungi. I'm a fungi.
And so what we've actually been seeing throughout all of this is that there is massive amounts of disinformation, and a lot of the story can actually be told during the disinformation and what information they don't want you to see. So it's interesting to me that they claim that Anonymous was the ones that took down RT.com. So there was a period in time just day before yesterday, right after this all got started, to where they claimed Anonymous, which I can't see anything to show that Anonymous did it, and even if Anonymous did do it, within the hacker and tech community, everybody knows Anonymous is just that. It's anonymous. If I write you a name on it that says Anonymous, that's anonymous. It doesn't mean that, oh, yeah, this group and organization is that. So they're coming out and propagandizing.
It's kind of like a chicken or the egg thing, you know. I mean, which came first, Anonymous or Anonymous?
There is no group. There's seriously no organized group that's called that. You visit any of the hacker forums, they'll tell you that same thing. But the media wants you to believe there's an organized group and an organization that we know about that just took down Russia. Now, my whole thing about this has always been, you never cut the tongue out of a man whose voice you're afraid to hear. You cut the tongue out of a man you are afraid he's going to tell the truth. So there's elements of it to where I want to know what Russia thinks or what Russia said. He had a meeting that he was supposed to have with Joe Biden that ended up being canceled. Joe Biden ended up saying these stupid things about how we can't defend it, and next thing you know, he's moving on it. I pray it ends there.
Yeah, I really do, too. And I've been listening to a little bit of Bongino. He's ex-Secret Service, and mm-hmm. you know, I think you get a little perspective from him. And you got to get different perspectives from people who maybe had a little more experience on the inside that you can maybe possibly trust their judgment or their information. And it's tough because I'm hearing two things. You know, one is that it's the end of the world, and the other is it's not that big a deal. They're going to withdraw everything pretty quickly because he's in over his head. And he's in over his head because he kind of boxed himself in by invading the country. And what Bongino's saying is, he's saying it's one thing to invade a country with your army. It's another thing to quell the population of, 40 million people who hate your guts and don't want to comply with anything. Kind of like what we're seeing now here. You know, I mean, the real deal is that if the population is not going to go along with the program, it's an insurgency. You know, how long did we stay in Afghanistan? How long were the Russians in Afghanistan? And they couldn't really put the population down. Now, we might be seeing a situation like that as well, because I'll tell you what, the Ukrainians have no love for Russians, and they've seen, you know, over the generations, some up close and personal starvation. They fought them. They know what it's going to be like under a Soviet rule. And they are the third country in the world with the most production of a lot of things, like, you know, food and minerals and all kinds of stuff.
Well, and it's interesting how these things play out, because there's portions of Ukraine that don't mind Russia at all. But there's portions of Ukraine that are like Kiev, or as they call it, Kyiv, because they literally will take offense if you speak Russian there.
Right.
They don't want to.
Well,
they have their own dialect.
Well, they have their own dialect. It's similar. It's like Polish and Russian.
But
you know, they sound
that
a lot alike, but they're not the same.
They do that literally based upon the fact that the Russians were so bad to them there. I mean, you had forced starvation that was going on. They took their grain, they took their crops, they took their water.
Yeah.
Well, one of the first things Ukraine did after they ended up taking back Ukraine is they dammed up the water. And so there was a water source that actually they dammed up and prevented from going into Russia from Kiev area. Well, as soon as they ended up taking that, and taking that's over towards the Chernobyl channel from what I was seeing, well, that they're trying to open back up right now and get the water back flowing. It really could be as simple as that, because Russia is actually pretty rich in oil, and it's pretty rich in a lot of the minerals already. They don't need Ukraine. It's a nice little honeypot everybody's been fighting over.
So are we, but we just refuse to use it.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I want to keep in mind in all of this, guys, we've had situations now with Bill Gates, with Hunter Biden, with George Soros, with the rest of these guys, all doing their weird little dark business dealings in Ukraine all of this time.
Well, that might be part of what's going on, too, is because, you know, Hunter Biden was getting bribed from the Ukraine. I mean, that was remember the whole Hunter Biden mm-hmm. thing and Joe Biden getting, you know, bribery from the Ukraine. Now we put in, $80 billion worth of new equipment for military equipment. And now we got a war going with Russia almost right away. You can't help but think that someone's pulling the strings a little bit here.
Well, and my biggest concern on all of this is, all right, so they shut down Russia from not being able to get their narrative out. They make it to where they're not able to say anything at all while telling us all that they're going in there and that they're going to be starting wars. Because now they're saying, oh, yeah, the places near there that are not NATO countries, he's going to invade those next, and he's threatening them and this, that, and the other thing.
Well, you've already got NATO stepping up in Germany. This morning said something about putting troops into Ukraine as well.
Well, and this is my point on it. So you end up seeing what they're doing right now. We're getting one side of the story right now where it may have just been Russia's going to go in, take Ukraine, get the water, and then...
Or it could have been the nuclear weapons on the border, too, for that matter. I don't know.
Or it could have been the bio labs they're talking about.
Many different things with it that it could be. That's the problem, is
right.
We don't have...
good intelligence?
Yeah, we don't have boots on the ground, so to speak,
right,
to get the good intelligence to know exactly what's happening. Because, of course, they're going to lie and prop stuff up on one side of it.
But that's not really true. Our border patrol is over there.
Oh, yeah. Different kind of boots.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, there's so much going on with the media, with the propaganda that it's ridiculous.
Maybe we should pull back a little bit into our local stuff here, you know, because I think we've got some good things going on the horizon. We've got Tim Garmon going to be sworn in on Tuesday. On Tuesday, the board will see how that goes, and is there going to be a new election for a new chairman?
And don't we have to do chairman
and vice chairman,
chair, right?
Okay, yeah. And then I think the first thing they should do, in my personal opinion, besides maybe change the chairmanship and make those motions and make that happen, is in the emergency. I think the first order of business, other than maybe firing a few people, should be to end the emergency in Shasta County,
which there never was.
Well, there was declared by the
governor. But we never had emergency here in Shasta County.
It never warranted being...
For lockdowns.
It never warranted being an emergency. So there are some good things happening on the horizon. And Shasta County, there's a Shasta County United for Max Choice is having a Sunday fun day today. There's a car parade at 2 to 2:30, and this is off Hilltop. And then 2:30 to 4, parade to a mall and a rally. And Mask Choice Fun Rally at 4 to 6. I'm assuming this is all today. 227, yeah. So this is all today. Mask Choice for Rally, 4 to 6 at Northfield Enterprise Park. Food, games, music, and inspiration. All ages are welcome. And come and have some fun, and let's talk about Mask Choice.
Going back to the Board of Supervisors and stuff, one thing that's been really good with this recall is you're starting to see more and more people. We have more candidates stepping up that are running for these offices.
Yeah, I agree.
And getting their message out or what they want to see happen in our county, which is really good, I feel.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's what we kind of need to probably focus on more is what we can control, because we can't really control too much going on in the Ukraine at this point, but we can control what's going on locally, and that's where our focus has been, and we're actually having quite a bit of success. They also are having Free the Smiles Color Run, and this is in Anderson Park on March 19th at 9 a.m. There's a registration fee of $12. Children from 0 to 4 are free. Walk, run, skip, hop your way through the beautiful trails of Anderson River Park and get a little colored along the way. I'm not sure what that means.
Maybe a typo should have been color on the way.
But I think that you're going to get bombed with color or something. I don't know what it is. It's like color chalk or something. I think that's what they're doing. I'm not positive. Either that or you're changing color as you go. You know, we could be going from citizens to white supremacists, depending on who you're listening to on the media. Just kidding. Music, food, fun, face painting. So maybe that's what they're doing, face painting.
That's probably what it is.
That might be what it is.
It could be.
Visit Free the Smiles Facebook page. So evidently there's the Smiles fake book. Well, that was a Freudian slip, kind of. Facebook page for up-to-date information. And also, we're going to have Brian Caples is going to come in at 11 o'clock today.
Yep, he is.
And his campaign for the Shasta County Superintendent of Schools. I have a little thing here, Against the Mandates by Brian Harris. So that's all good stuff.
Yeah, I believe he is doing like every Friday or something, and we'll ask him when it comes in, like coffee. With the community?
Right.
Yeah, so we'll get those dates.
How come we never had coffee with the last guy?
What last guy?
Oh, the guy Shasta County.
Oh, you mean that guy.
Yeah, that guy. I don't know.
He was too busy serving our
community. I do
want
to...
That was that.
I do want to hit, there's an article in the Need to Know News, it's called How to End Vaccine Mandates, a History Lesson. And I think this is goes to what we're going to talk about maybe at the top of the hour. And basically, people have taken to the streets, and this is not the first time. You know, there was a anti-vaccination rebellion in 1885, believe it or not, over the smallpox that was outbreaking all over the world. And you know, what happened was the local guys took control. And started ignoring the medical community, because back then in 1885 they probably wanted to bleed you or something, you know, put leeches on you and, you know, that type of thing. You know, one of the smallpox, cures from those guys was to smear...
with a live virus.
To smear a live virus on an open sore.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That was it.
Yeah. So what happened was that they just started not doing it. As it turns out, many doctors had spoken out against the vaccination and smallpox thing. So we want to go over that a little bit. And I believe
smallpox is the only disease like that that's been eradicated since vaccine started. Just a little bit of...
Yeah.
Information there.
Yeah.
We have David on the line, but we're going to go to a break. And when we get back,
there you have
we'll
it.
Get to our caller. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The Sikh Center and SCAR are having a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, March 11th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson. All brands of COVID-19 vaccines will be available, including boosters. Kids 5 to 11 and youths 12 to 17 must be accompanied by parents or guardians for consent. Come in and get vaccinated and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards to vaccine recipients and special toys and gifts to the kids. No appointment needed. No insurance needed. Free COVID-19 at-home testing kits will also be available, along with free hand sanitizer and masks. This is a drive-through and walk-up clinic, so you can stay in the comfort of your vehicle and get vaccinated, or head inside and get vaccinated. There will also be a team of medical professionals on hand at this free vaccination clinic at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson, Friday, March 11th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Wind River Resort and Casino's got the grub, games, and giveaways this St. Patrick's Day. Food specials, green beer, table games, swag to win, and giveaways Thursday, March 17th. Come down and celebrate with us.
Don't forget to wear green.
Find your moments at the river. Enjoy an affordable staycation experience at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Standard rooms only $89 a night, Sunday through Thursday.
Valid through March 31st.
Must have a River Club card. Some restrictions apply.
Mention promo code WINTER2022 and find your moment at the river.
We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises, a kiss for luck and we're on our way.
We've only begun
before the rising sun. We fly so many roads to choose. We start out walking and learn.
Just begun.
Hey, you know, we've only just begun. Come on.
Like that, you can take that several ways. You,
we've only just begun. I'm
we've
telling
just
you.
We've begun.
Well, I thought a little Karen Carpenter for the opposition might calm them down.
Okay, we've got some callers. So I believe David is first, so we'll go to him. Good morning, David.
Oh, yeah, morning. Yeah, I'm the guy from San Francisco who calls once in a while. And
yeah, it's an election year.
Okay, and then next we have Rich. Good morning, Rich.
I'm here.
Hey,
I'm
what's
here. Up, Rich?
This morning, Rich.
I thought David was first. Hey,
he was, but you
he
know,
went away. But here we go.
We
so.
Just don't.
Okay.
We don't
go
need
on.
Dave's input because right. It's going to be a misleading bunch of crap.
So what you
oh,
got?
Oh, okay. Well, as usual, plenty, but. You know, I briefly covered a few things, a couple of laws that were introduced last week after the recall. California is coming after us now. I humbly named these laws the Shasta County Recall Retaliation Act, and they're coming after us, okay? Remember,
yeah,
folks.
I'm sorry, but isn't ahead. One that we just get to say yes and no on a recall, and then that's it, and they get to a point?
Correct. If Senate Bill 2582, they'll still be able to have a recall election, but it's only going to be a yes-no portion of the ballot. They are literally going to disenfranchise the voters, the socialist Democrats. I'm going to start getting angry here. They're actually going to disenfranchise us and take the part to vote for a replacement away from us, just like they've done with the sheriff. When the sheriff vacates, now the board, seriously, the board can appoint. That's another disenfranchisement.
Well, we're fast becoming a threat, Rich. That's probably why the call from San Francisco. You know, we're getting a lot of free advertisement about how we've actually succeeded up here. And of course, we're the militia, we're
is,
the white
course,
supremacists.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. But let me go over a few more here. I know you guys have an 11 o'clock guest. Assembly Bill 2584, also introduced last week. Local recall, civil and criminal liability. For false or misleading information on the notice of intent summaries, and a voter or an elections official, when reading that notice of intent summary, if they believe there's false or misleading information, can petition a judge to issue an injunction to suspend the recall. Are you freaking kidding me?
Right.
Are you freaking kidding me?
So does that mean the person at the elections office is the one that determines whether it works or not?
The law does not say who gets to say, but what is misleading and false information?
That's the
Hello, Ministry of Truth, 1984, George Orwell.
Well, that's the real ticket there for these guys, and that's been, whether it's been Joe Rogan or anybody, who says what misinformation is? Well, what they say misinformation is anybody who disagrees with them. That's misinformation.
Yeah, let me give you some more. They're all related, okay? Senate Bill 1464. Oh, introduced by State Senator Pan. Yeah, I think we all know what he likes to do. remember Mark, a
is
couple
that,
years ago,
is that
I was
that
on
is that, the video.
No, is that Peter? Is that Peter?
I can't say on the air what I think
he likes to be. I thought he was a guy that didn't realize he was on Zoom.
I think he went to jail or something too, wasn't it? No, that's the other
no,
guy.
No, that was Wiener.
Oh, so, yeah, we know there was Yee too. See, remember Yee got busted for selling arms or something?
Yeah. So here's another one. Remember a couple years ago, Mark, I was on the local radio shows talking about the state laws regarding the upcoming pandemic. And remember we talked about that the law enforcement may enforce health orders, okay? This was 2 years ago. Oh, guess what? Senate Bill 1464. They're going to change that may in the law enforcement enforcing health orders to shall. Yes, here it comes, folks. Shall enforce health orders. That is going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's why
Assembly
you got
Bill,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Assembly Bill 2098. Doctors are going to be disciplined if they put out misinformation or disinformation on COVID-19. Assembly Bill 2098. Oh, it gets better. I only have a few more. I know we're rocking and rolling here. Senate Bill 1131, election worker confidentiality. So there's a lot of government workers that get to hide their DMV addresses on official DMV records, usually cops, dispatchers, corrections, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're going to put election workers on that. Why would an election worker need to have their address hidden in the DMV roll. Yeah, I have some thoughts on that, but it's just crazy.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of what this whole thing really was about. This, you know, from the beginning was not about, you know, preventing COVID. It was about taking advantage of COVID, you know, whether it's, implementing the emergency, masking everybody, you know, doing the control thing. It was never about fixing it. They could have done it right away with the ivermectin. It's all been about these things. And now that they're seeing people pushing back, you know, it's like, why did Dave call? You know, why did Dave call from San Francisco? Because all of a sudden we're becoming a little bit more of a threat because we're starting to win.
So a couple more, and then I'll summarize it all up.
And just to say, hold on just a second. Yeah. I just want to say, I'm kind of curious to see what Dave had to say, but then what he does is he just bloviates for 10 minutes, takes up time. You have to cut him off anyway. And he has nothing to say of real value that is pertinent to the conversation. It's all BS.
I'll say in 10 minutes what it will take this guy Dave 3 hours to say, if at all. Senate Bill 960. Currently in California, law enforcement officers must be citizens, have to be a legal resident, or have to apply for citizenship. Mark, again, two years ago, we talked about the National Guard, the State Military Reserve, right, and their citizenship requirements. Oh, guess what? Senate Bill 960. They're going to remove those requirements to be a police officer in California. You won't have to be a citizen.
Well, that's kind of what...
You won't even have to have an application for citizenship on trial to be a cop.
Well,
why?
See what that
tells me, Rich.
That's all right. What that tells me, Rich, is kind of what they did in Canada. They brought in UN troops and put them in Canadian uniforms because then they have no loyalty to the local populace, and they don't care if they're jackbooting them or not.
Right. So
allegiance to the country, the state, or even your local entity you're working for. You have no allegiance to it.
And
there's no problem here. They don't have to be citizens of California or the United States.
Well, and some would call that a conspiracy.
But hold on. But I have to have a permit and get their permission to exercise my Second Amendment right.
Well,
I have to be a citizen.
Hold on. Some would say this is conspiracy theory. Okay, but if they're trying to pass this law, what purpose would it actually have to have foreign citizens be able to be a part of the militia?
Exactly. To take the power and put it in their hands.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible. Now, I don't believe this one on law enforcement, not being citizens. I don't believe this one will pass. The law enforcement lobby here in California is still fairly powerful. And I don't think that one will pass as written, maybe modified. The rest of these bills that I've covered, I believe they will pass as written. And it's going to be horrible. And a couple last things. So the Dr. Reschke at the last board meeting when she said, medical records are being altered to separate vaccine injuries from vaccine injections. I really hope a lot of people are going to pressure the Board of Supervisors to do two things. They can pressure the sheriff to start an investigation. They can pressure the sheriff by having a formal resolution. And the second thing the board can do, independent of local law enforcement, our local board can independently contact the U.S. attorney in Sacramento because these medical records alterations are violating so many laws, state and federal. It's not even funny. And so I want people to pressure the board to directly contact the U.S. attorney in Sacramento and have them start their investigation on the federal side, separate from the state law enforcement investigation. This needs to come out. Very, very, lots of pressure from the public.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Well, who's going to be at the next Board of Supervisors meeting?
Yeah.
Everyone
should be there.
All right, I bloviated for 15 minutes. Time for Stephen King to call in. Thanks, Rich,
all the updates. We do appreciate it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of those that are scary things if people don't realize what's really going on here.
Yeah, if you guys are having trouble getting through on the phone lines, just keep calling if you want to get in. We've got some idiot out there that thinks that he's going to stop everything by tying up the lines and calling in. And he's already played his card as far as being able to call in and talk anymore and completely alienated from the chat room, because all he does is call people names. You know, he sends out emails. Everybody's this and everybody's that. And his words are not... you know,
they don't mean anything.
They don't mean anything, but it's all garbage. It's cussing and this and that and killing and all this stupid crap.
It's not
crap.
Even worth mentioning.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I'm mentioning it is because I want the people to understand why the lines are being a little bit tied up.
Who's
here.
Are you still on the phone, Rich?
Lori's on the phone.
Lori's
on the phone. Hey, Lori,
hey.
What's up?
Good morning, everyone. Wow.
Good morning.
It's been quite a morning. I'm going to fly through it so we can keep going and block these people that are trying to jam up the line.
Right.
I don't know if you guys recall, there was a story done by Sam Comente, son of Board of Supervisor Joe Comente. It was done either on the 25th or I think it was Friday. Interesting and odd, bizarre thing. They put out a video on the TV station, okay, and they leave out crucial data that was put in the hard copy print paper that you buy. It was completely a split story. We have a very sad story of this Coral Baker. She passed away, and they're interviewing, meaning Sam Comente, the surviving husband, who's a veteran and a school teacher. And all it was apparently she died because of people not being careful, not in their masks, not being vaccinated. It sounded like this insane, crazy, horrible narrative, and then when you go to the print copy, they tell you, oh, goodness, this gal, Cora Baker, who died, had a kidney problem. She was ill, elder, had comorbid issues, all kinds of stuff that was not put in the video that was shown on TV. So I'm not sure when these split stories started happening, but 2 minutes and 51 seconds of this whole thing made it look like the anti-maskers, anti-vaxxers contributed to the death of this woman when she was on a donor list for 4 years.
That's not misleading, is it?
Well, tell you what. Remember when they want to do a transplant? You have to be vaccinated.
Right.
So was she vaccinated and then passed away? I don't know, but I'm going to move on to my next situation here, which is this white flag thing here at the City Hall on Cypress. Richard, I, and Robert Exter, we were there yesterday because we're doing a new shift and a twist. We're now going to start covering the vaccine injuries, maiming, harm, and deaths. We're not going to go to these vaccine clinics like we did all last year. We did about 20, 21 of these mass vaccination clinics. We're done. We're done tracking how much they've goofed up, stepped in it, we're sloppy, or all the rest. We are going to start covering, from here on out, all the deaths and injury. And we were there yesterday at City Hall, and Robert Exter did an interview of his own personal experience, and we're going to keep doing these. So I'm just putting that out there, that this is unacceptable to have the Pilgrim Congregational Church get all the spot in the front of Cypress with these 400, 500 little white flags to represent the COVID deaths. How about you include the people that died from the vaccine? That part of it. Well, we were there. We had our red and orange flags. I've sent out pictures. The chat room thing's not working, so I can't submit it, but I'll send it out anyway. And finally, Ask the Experts finally released something. This is the county's version for this forum panel that happened in January. And I tell you what, I have not sat through it to take copious notes, but it's about 29 minutes long, and it is absolute propaganda. They think it's okay to vaccinate people that are pregnant. They're going to do another three parts. I am absolutely livid. And where's Karen Ramstrom, DO, our health officer? She's not in it. She's, again, not transparent. Donnell Ewert, you're done. You say you're going to retire April 8th or whatever and try to travel the country. Well, good luck traveling the country, Donnell.
All right. Thanks, Lori.
All right. We appreciate it. That was a lot of information.
I want to add to this. This is a personal friend of mine. So this isn't secondhand knowledge. This isn't the paper. This is a personal friend of mine who actually got the vax, three of the vaxes. And I'm reading this from his mother to me. He is having surgery on the 14th of March to remove a clot and possibly putting it in a stent. If they don't do the surgery, there's a 65% chance of another bigger stroke. If they do the surgery and it goes well, it goes down to 2%. There is a possibility of a 30% increase in stroke during the surgery, and so we just have to pray for him, okay? And so I posted that, and I'm asking everybody to say a prayer for him. His name is Jerry. This is the second person that I know of, and my wife has known personally, that has died from the vax and the clots and all the things that go with it. And so for these guys out there to say that there's no problem, everything's safe, get your vax, do whatever you're told, I'm sorry. You know, they've twisted everything. They've lied about everything. They don't share that. And I'm just one little guy out in the middle of Northern California, and I know people who have died from the vax myself.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to say. I know of people telling me of different family members either dying or having severe side effects.
Adverse reactions.
Very bad. Some of the nurses that are in the, you know, healthcare here and everything.
So the idea that, oh, I know people that die from COVID, fine. That's great. You know, let's use those stats. But why should we eliminate all the stats that show all the people that had adverse reactions and died from the shots? See, that's the thing that nobody wants to talk about, and that's the cover up, and that's the data that they haven't been showing everybody. But we're just supposed to follow Dementia Joe and do whatever he tells us, and his minion Fauci. Get the shot because it's good for you. You know, take the mask on, mask off, mask on, mask off. What am I, a freaking light bulb?
Mask on, mask on.
So,
meanwhile, Joe Biden's in the White House staring at the microwave going, damn, I can't get any TV on this station.
Where's my chocolate ice cream even? Yeah, exit stage left. You know, I mean, the guy can't answer a question. He, you know, the State of the Union's coming up. Oh boy, about that, you know, anytime someone asks him, he walks off. So, you know, is he even going to be able to make it through the State of the Union? They probably juice him up before he goes out there. You know, I mean, I don't know.
So I did have some breaking news that just came through. This is from Putin as of today. He has ordered his nuclear defenses to be on alert as of this morning.
Yeah, I saw that.
In a meeting with top officials, Putin declared that leading NATO nations made aggressive statements raising concern. These statements, along with Western countries imposing heavy financial sanctions against Russia and Putin personally, are being viewed as an act of aggression towards the nation. Sunday's alert order implies Putin has ordered Russia's nuclear weapons prepared for advanced willingness to launch in response to outside aggressors. So there's elements of this too, you guys, that Putin has already said that the next war, the world war, would not be fought in conventional means. It would be fought in ones and zeros. So one of the things that we've reported on this station back when it happened, and surprisingly or unsurprisingly, these articles are scarce or hard to be found, is the fact that there are persistent hacks within our system, from our Pentagon to our powers to our stations to our subway stations to all of it, all across our nation. Now, there's a movie that's out there called Die Hard with a Vengeance, I believe it is. It's number 4. In that movie...
That's not the Bruce Willis one.
It is.
It is the Bruce Willis one.
In that movie, there is an instance to where there is a fire sale going on from some terrorists that ended up getting in and had some persistent hacks. And that is very likely what a war with Russia would look like. It probably wouldn't be conventional war.
Yeah, I don't think nuclear war is what's going to happen. I think they're saber rattling, and Ukraine doesn't have any nuclear weapons because we talked them out of it.
Well,
so,
and what's interesting to me on this is that you go through and you look, like, for instance, when we were going to bomb Syria originally, when President Trump was president still. And when we were going to do that, we had some oil refineries just miraculously blow up and explode. That is what it would look like. You'd never know it. They're not going to tell you it. But like up in Oregon recently, there was a chip plant that blew up. And that was just this last week as well. And it was just a potato chip plant that the valve ended up getting clogged
potato
on.
Potato chip.
Seriously.
I saw that potato. You said chip plant.
Chips everywhere.
And you were saying chips, and I was thinking computer chips, and then I remembered I saw the story about the potato chip plant. Mm-hmm. But so kind of has a different significance between being a computer chip plant and a potato chip plant.
That's what I wanted to clarify on for that, but that's what it would look like. It would look like our infrastructure basically being attacked from within. It would look exactly like that. So that's something to keep in mind and have some batteries on hand, have some food. We don't know where this is going to go.
Well, if you haven't been doing a little bit of prepping, I think you're just out of touch with reality at this point for whatever reason, a fire, flood, you know, economic problems, whatever. But yeah, that everybody should be doing that if it has any common sense. We got a couple more minutes.
We have a caller on the line.
We got Terry. Okay.
Yeah, we've got Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Morning, you guys. You know, I think there is an elephant in the room here, and I think it's the stance that we're starting to take, and I would say that this week is pretty much the beginning of that. We've talked about how people like Leonard Modi and people that are on the other side of this are only our opponents. An opponent to me is somebody on the other end of the football field, or two boxers on each side of the ring in a boxing match, or bull riders that are competing to win. Those are opponents. People that try to give you things that will kill you, people that try to steal your liberty and your freedom, people that try to teach your kids communism, people that try to take all your rights away, people that try to harm your children, people that want to insist that our children get vaccines that could kill them and could harm them, those are not opponents, my friends. Those are enemies. Mm-hmm. They are enemies. They are your enemy, not an opponent. And I think it's about time we start really recognizing where this particular battle is going.
Right.
There, Joe Biden is not an opponent.
I agree with you completely, Terry. Yeah. So it's that's what's meshing out in all this stuff as well. So have you got anything else? We're almost to the top of the hour.
That's all I've got, buddy. I just think that the narrative needs to be where it needs to be, and the real truth is we're fighting enemies, folks. We're not fighting opponents.
Enemies within. I agree.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks
for
Gary.
Calling in. We appreciate it.
All right, you too. I have another story here that I just have to get out there real quick before we get to the top of the hour. U.S. Secret Service claims it can't find 3 years' worth of records of Hunter Biden's travel log, their travel records, after the agency made extensive inappropriate redactions to docs produced last month.
Yeah, imagine that, because they were leaked out a little bit before, if I do remember right, and then now all of a sudden they can't find them.
Well, and this is what we're seeing right now. So they can't find those documents. Ukraine is basically done, unfortunately. What we're seeing right now is that they're going to fall, is what it looks like. It looks like they've put up a very good fight. Now, that doesn't mean they're out of the fight, but it just means they're dealing with an occupying force.
Well, again, and like we said before, you know, I mean, they don't have the military might to stand up to Russia completely, but can Russia hold the Ukraine is the real deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, there also is an article as of today as well, and this was something that a lot of people were saying that they should do, but this is also an escalation, and it's a big escalation. So Russian banks are being removed from the SWIFT payment system.
Oh,
yeah,
I hadn't heard that
SWIFT,
yet,
yeah.
So they are doing that.
Yeah,
yes.
They did.
Yeah.
They started it, I believe, yesterday.
So
might have been the day before.
For anybody who doesn't know what the SWIFT banking system is, it's basically the basket that all the countries put their money into so they can have exchanges of money between countries in a fashion other than going through a standard bank. So it's kind of like the countries of the world's bank.
This is my opinion once again, but in my opinion, I believe this is going to force Russia to much more closely work with China based upon this, because they don't have enough money to be able to sustain themselves.
Well, and China is trying to set up their own alternative currency system for the world as well, with the yang, and they've been doing that for years to try to supplant the dollar as the world reserve currency. So it could get very interesting. And, you know, economically, China's falling apart, too, as well as every other country in the world, practically. I mean, everybody says China's an economic powerhouse, and to some degree, that's true. But that's like saying that North Korea is a powerhouse and they're small countries. Yeah, they have power, but they're people are starving. And so there's so much control over them that it's not... I don't think they're the powerhouse or the threat that everybody thinks that they are. But if China and Russia get together, that could be a problem.
And with that, we're at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM.
But it's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because. See, you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off that old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Vladimir Putin has ordered Russian nuclear deterrent forces on alert amidst tensions with the West over his invasion of Ukraine. Speaking at a meeting of his top officials this morning, Putin asserted that NATO powers had made, quote, aggressive statements, and is also upset with the West for imposing hard-hitting financial sanctions against Russia, including against him personally. President Biden, in a new interview published yesterday, warned that there is no sanction that is immediate, just as the Allies and the U.S. are relying on sanctions to try and end the incursion into Ukraine.
President Biden says, quote, you have two options, start a third world war, or two, make sure that a country that acts so contrary to international law ends up paying a price for having done it. Mr. Biden announced multiple waves of sanctions on Russia this week. Other countries have also placed sanctions on Russia, aiming at banks, businesses, and oligarchs. But on Thursday, the president downplayed the immediate effectiveness of sanctions, saying no one expects the sanctions to prevent anything from happening, despite previous messaging from his White House that said that the sanctions were designed to deter and prevent. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Former President Trump has won the presidential straw poll at the Conservative Political Action Conference today. Speaking yesterday in Orlando, Mr. Trump said the next two election cycles are crucial.
This is a tipping point for the country, and the stakes could not be higher. Losing is not an option. We must win in 2022. We must win in 2024. We all know what happens when you get a rigged election, like in 2020.
The annual conservative gathering has drawn 18,000 activists, including some office holders and aspiring candidates. It all wraps up later today with a musical performance by Lee Greenwood. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know that the FTC reported a 45% increase in fraud and identity theft claims in 2020? Our increased digital lives and shift to remote work have created easy targets for scammers. Staying safe may feel daunting, but protection for you and your family is easier than you think with Identity Guard. Plus, there's no better time to get started. Identity Guard is offering listeners a free 30-day trial. Visit identityguard.com/newstalk today for a free 30-day trial. That's identityguard.com/newstalk.
You can now lose your job for refusing to call a biological male she. And confused children are being pumped full of drugs to block puberty. How have we gotten to this point? The compelling new documentary, The Tragedy of Gender Confusion, has now been banned from online streaming. See the program the corporate media wants to hide from you. Get the DVD at SalemNowStore.com.
Technical issues snarl British air traffic.
British Airways canceled dozens of flights from Heathrow Airport Saturday as it struggled to fix snafus in its booking and check-in systems. The airline first canceled all short-haul flights through the midday, then said there would be likely delays to long-haul flights, and then said there would likely be further disruptions during the day, not only at Heathrow, but also at Gatwick and London City airports. The airline says the problems were caused by hardware issues and not a cyber attack. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Nearly half of the 500 million free COVID-19 tests the Biden administration recently made available still haven't been claimed as virus cases drop and people feel less urgency to be tested. On the first day of the giveaway in January, the government website got 45 million orders. Now they're getting less than 100,000 orders per day. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Federal authorities say a strain of bird flu has been detected in Michigan.
It was detected in a non-commercial backyard flock of birds in Kalamazoo County. The Michigan cases were confirmed by the USDA through laboratory testing. Officials have quarantined the Kalamazoo County site. The bird flu cases are among the latest in the U.S. that have put farms that raise turkeys and chickens for meat and eggs on high alert, fearing a repeat of a 2015 bird flu outbreak that killed 50 million birds across 15 states. John Scott reporting.
Today is Sunday, February the 27th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday today, including actress Joanne Woodward, 92 years old, famous in her own right, and also the wife of Paul Newman. Consumer advocate Ralph Nader, 88 years old today. Actor Adam Baldwin turns 60. Basketball Hall of Famer James Worthy has 61 candles on his cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I'm ready.
Top of the Grange there. I'm pretty sure if you don't like that, I'm not sure I like you.
What do
and
you like?
Know what? Even though it's boomer
well,
music,
that might be true.
Boomer music?
Well,
that's,
no,
I wouldn't call it
what are you? What are you again? Generation X?
Oh,
they call you the. I think it's Generation X for a reason. I think.
I'm a millennial, so.
Well, that's even worse. That's even
nice
worse.
Rhythm to it, and you can understand what
ZZ is actually really good, okay? That's
okay,
all I was
we'll
saying.
Oh,
okay.
He gets a pass.
Okay,
all right.
We'll let you go.
So listen, we got some people in our studio here today. We've got a couple of special guests. We've got Brian Caples, who's running for county board of supervisor. Or, no, it's not. I'm sorry. It's the county. Thank you. We've got so many people running, can't even remember all the positions.
Yeah, but it's great. Yeah. I love it.
Absolutely. And we also have Martin Reed, who's a teacher. I'm not sure. Are you still a teacher? I guess you're still a teacher, but you're not teaching, right?
I'm on leave right now. They're going through the termination process with me.
All right. Okay. We want to talk to...
Well, I think we have
to clarify, I didn't really do anything wrong for your audience.
Oh.
I'm just refusing the nasal swab.
Oh.
So I didn't hurt a kid or anything like that. Just to clarify, that's
okay. I'm sorry. I didn't.
So you're refusing a swab that actually has been reported from L.A. and the Sheriff's Department via the FBI that is collecting DNA and going back to China.
Correct.
Weird.
Okay, so
correct.
We got a couple things that we got to clear. Okay,
China's firing me.
The website is back up. So anybody who wants to get on the website, I highly suggest you get back on there on the chat room because it's back up and running. And also.
And if you don't behave, we will have you removed.
Okay, so I think Dick has an announcement, and then we'll get to our guest, Brian, and then we'll go from there.
Good morning, Dick.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, yesterday I called Patrick Jones at his gun store there, and I had a suggestion for him. He thought it was a good idea. He should write a letter to Leonard Moody and tell him that if he's not satisfied with the direction that the new supervisors are taking, he can come to the board. He can come to the Tuesday board of supervisor meetings. As long as he's not disrespectful, he has 3 minutes to express his grievances.
Well,
that's awesome.
That's if he doesn't get cut off and interrupted by somebody who's rude.
Well, we wouldn't do that, right?
No.
Anyway, that's That's all I have.
Thanks, Dick.
Well, thanks, Dick, for calling in. We appreciate
all right.
it. We needed a good laugh.
Let's get to our guest, Brian Caples. Let's get and again, you're putting your throwing your hat in the ring here as superintendent of schools. Tell us a little bit about your background to start with so that we know where you're from and who you are and what you're about.
Sure, sure. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, by the way.
You bet.
I've been an educator for about 30 years. Started my career as a classroom aide. Worked as a substitute teacher, a classroom teacher, where I taught junior high mainly. Taught elementary school for a couple of years. Became an assistant principal. Was a principal for several years. And then a superintendent for 13 years. I've also got about 15 years of teaching at the higher education level. Taught about 13 or 14 years part-time as an adjunct professor, where I generally taught education courses, teaching teachers how to become teachers, and teaching administration classes for principals and administrators who want to become administrators. And taught a couple years full-time. But that's my educational experience. And just have had a wonderful time throughout most of it. It's been just absolutely wonderful. Wonderful working with kids, parents, teachers, et cetera.
So what made you decide to run? What was the tipping point for you to go, okay, I'm in?
Well, I can tell you exactly when that was. You know, like I just said, most of my time has been wonderful. As a superintendent, you work for a school board, right? As a principal, you work for a superintendent. As a teacher, you work for a principal. Well, as a superintendent, you actually work for a school board. Most of you know what that is. Most school boards are made up of 5 members in California. Some are 3, some are 7. Most of them are 5. So I always said I had a 5-headed boss, right, that wanted me to do 5 different things usually, 5 different ways. And that's a tough position to be in. One of the things that really put me over the top and made me decide to run was, it just happened a few months ago. I was kind of semi-retired, and I saw an ad in the paper for a little school up in Trinity County called Burt Ranch Elementary School.
Oh, I know where that
40,
is.
40, 50 kids, yeah. Just a very small school. Was just going to work a couple days a week, part-time. Thought, okay, well, that would be something I could do, help me keep busy. I'll be able to contribute back to the community or their community. Had several issues with them. I did not realize how liberal they were. You think Trinity County would be very conservative?
You'd think.
The Weaverville side, pretty conservative. The side closest to
the closer Humboldt. You get to the coast, the
yeah,
screwier.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Makes a lot of sense.
I'll tell you where it happens. Right where the phone goes out. Right, because there's about a 40-mile there's about a 40-mile range where you don't have any service. Now, I'm nice people. I'm not saying anything, and I'm not even using a liberal as a derogatory term.
You're not being disparaging, I think, is what you're saying.
Thank you. I'm not. That's the last thing that I would want to do, because I could care less. I think that's the difference between us conservatives. If you want to be liberal, be liberal. Just don't force it on us. They have a problem with us being conservative in our conservative values. They don't like it. So you would have thought with the crew cut, the way I speak, the way I carry myself, you'd think, okay, you'd think they would notice conservative off the bat, but that's fine. It was no big deal. I had some issues with them all throughout. You know, I signed a 1-year contract. I was going to work for them part-time for 1 year. Like I said, like 2 days a week. The thing that the kicker was at Christmas time, and this is just a few months ago, I sent out an email to my staff and the community, and I said, you know, hope you have a great Christmas. Well, I get an
wow.
email back. The nerve of me to say Merry Christmas to people, right?
That is so stupid.
The nerve of me. Well, I get an email back from one of my board members. Her name's Sarah Brown. And she tells me, you can't say Merry Christmas. We're not all Christians. You can't say that. Well, you can imagine, those of you that know me, can imagine how that went over, like a lead balloon.
Yeah, so we're not all Satanists, hell Satan at Christmas?
Sure, sure. If you want to celebrate anything else, go right ahead. I happen to celebrate Christmas, so I'm going to say Merry Christmas.
Right.
It's not Happy Holidays to Brian. You know. So I told her it's always been Christmas, and I told everybody this because I made sure everybody got the email. All of my board members, all of everyone that got the original message got this message. It's always been Christmas, it's Christmas now, and it's going to be Christmas forever. So she didn't like that. Now listen to this. This is what put me over the top. This is one of the things that put me over the top. One of the board members there, his name is Mike Harding. His wife just happens to be the county superintendent of schools in Trinity County, Sarah Suppahan. They're married. So one of my board members is married to the county superintendent of schools. I believe it was either not too long after that, or maybe the next day, or maybe just a couple hours. I get a phone call on my personal cell phone, and it's Sarah Sepahan, the county superintendent of schools. And on my phone, mind you, she asked for someone that I used to work for. And she says, well, hi, my name's Sarah Sepahan. I'm the county superintendent of in Trinity County, the county superintendent of schools in Trinity County. I'm calling to check references for Brian Caples. Now, mind you, I've been there for 6 months already. So why is the county office of the county superintendent of schools calling my old references? Mind you, she did it on my phone, which wasn't real bright.
I would say, hey, he's a great guy.
Well, listen.
I've known him my whole life.
Right, yeah. And I've even had some problems with him, right?
Let me tell you about Brian anyway.
So I call her right back, right? I call her right back. She doesn't answer the phone. I let her know kindly that I think you left this message on the wrong phone, ma'am. So somehow they're in cahoots. My board and her are in cahoots somehow.
Wow.
And this is highly immoral.
Over Christmas.
Right. Over me saying something about Christmas.
They're trying to cancel you over Christmas.
Right. I have a question. What is it called on December 25th? When you say, what is that day?
Christmas.
Yes. So it doesn't have anything to do with whether you're Christian or not. They call it Christmas for whatever reason. So if it's Mary, so what other day would you say it is? Elf Day? Santa Day?
And mind you, so this is the thing that people need to keep in reference to this. I'm a Christian, and I still say Happy Halloween.
It's okay.
Okay?
Do you say Happy Easter? Because it's technically Resurrection Sunday.
Okay? Well, and this is the point. Like, we have these cultural things that are here, and yes, if you're not a part of that culture, it still shouldn't offend you. Basically, I'm just saying something nice to you, and that's the way everybody views
it. It's a greeting.
With the exception of the people that want to be offended by everything.
All right. Go on, Brian.
So that really, and a number of other stuff that I had to put up with for several months really didn't sit well with me. I let her know. I let my board know. My lawyer was being contacted. suggested that she resign from the position.
Wow.
So she did not only get sued and cost her county and everyone there, not only financial embarrassment, but just embarrassment over what you've done as an official. The good news is I've heard that she has resigned and is not going to seek a next term. So, maybe little old Brian Caples from, Shasta County had something to do with that, because we're not going to put up with corrupt officials anymore. We're not doing it. And that was the tipping point. There's a lot of other stuff. The masking of the kids, the testing of teachers. You have Mr. Reed right here. Someone that is not sick, mind you. I have a feeling that this man, if he was sick, I think I know what he'd do. I think he'd stay home. And then when he felt better, he'd go back to work.
Wow, that's such a noggin concept.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I would, and I have. And you know what?
We've done it for years.
I have verified natural immunity, which, according to the CDC, is much better than testing or vaccination.
So just the story that I just told you just there, I have 100 of those stories just from this little school district that I dealt with.
Can you tell us about them wanting to mask kids outside? This
was before this and during this. They wanted to mask kids inside, which I'm against. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. Yeah. Right? If you're afraid and you don't feel comfortable with a mask, wear a mask. But don't force a 5-year-old to put a mask on. It's not healthy. They wanted kids to wear masks outside at recess. The cleanest air on God's green earth in Trinity County, wear one outside. Now, they took it a step further. They wanted kids to wear masks while they played sports, while they played basketball, while they played volleyball.
That's ridiculous.
These are elementary kids.
Right. This is a K-8 school district.
Where there's no science that says anything about them, even being subject or, exposed to any of the virus that it's going to have any long-term effects. But now we're finding out psychologically it's having a ton of effects on their ability to learn and everything else.
Well, stop and think about it. You're going to put a muzzle basically on a child or anybody and then go tell them to play sports and you're going to tell me nothing's going to happen?
Just the fact that they're breathing in their own CO2 is enough for me.
Thank you. Yes.
So what happened with them a month or so after that, they bought my contract out. Now, when they buy your contract out, they have to pay you a certain amount. They have to pay you whatever your contract says, whatever the buyout is. They write you a check for that. And I would have gladly worked. I told them a few months ago before this, I'm not coming back. I signed a one-year contract. I will not be back next year. I'll finish the year. I will not be back, though. So they bought my contract out. So they literally, it bothers me so much, they waste taxpayers' money. Right. No regard for your hard-earned dollars.
Right.
Right? And the fact that if they're doing that to me, someone that won't put up with it, someone that will stand his ground, what are they doing to people that would be bullied, easily right. bullied? What right. are they doing to kids? What are they doing to teachers? But Mr. Reed is another example. He's standing up. He's not taking it. He's willing to be fired for this. A lot of people aren't. They're being forced. You know, you don't have to take the, you don't have to get the shot, or you don't have to get tested. But if you don't, you can't work here.
Well, it goes back to the old adage of for evil to prosper, all it takes is good men do nothing.
Sure.
But the more evil it gets, the less options that you have, then you have to stand up at some point, or somebody does.
Just take a Q-tip up the nose once a week.
Yeah. Or twice mind a week.
You, not gonna
or twice.
Not gonna
you
do too. It.
Or every day if you're in healthcare.
Right?
Mind you, too, this is a sliding scale that we've been seeing that's been going on and on with these vaccinations and now with these swabs. The problem is that you have to understand when you're in one of these situations to where you're going to be tested on the weekly, you do not have the counterparts of the people that now we know Omicron is. It's a healthy environment within the nose for it to exist and be in the people that are vaccinated, and they can spread it. So they're not being tested for it by any means or any measures. However, the people who are not sick, who might occasionally still get sick or might still be asymptomatic, they'll be tested. That will go into a file somewhere and then be used to go ahead and say, well, you've still got to do this because we're only testing one vector.
That's
a huge problem.
I wonder how many times Governor Mussolini down there in Sacramento has been tested with nasal swabs. Just be glad.
Every day.
I'd just be glad you're not in China because they use swabs in your rear end, you know. And that would be, you know, gee, I think it's more of a, you know, gee, will you submit at that point? But anyway, I digress. Go ahead and Brian.
So I have a quick thought and a quick question here. So there is a recent poll that came out, and this is on Postmillennial as of, I believe, yesterday. Survey, 84% of voters believe parents should be allowed to see children's curriculum plans. What are your thoughts on that, and how would you be voting if parents started requesting to be able to see what they're teaching the children at the schools?
Excellent question, and I don't understand why it's not 100%. Right? 84 to me is shocking. Right, uh-huh. That's a big number, but I'd like to see 100.
The other guys right. didn't right. know that there was a survey.
Right? Did you forget to vote? well, let me tell you how it works. This is exactly how it works, and this is the problem. Let's say we have a let's just make it a nice round number. We have a school district with 1,000 students in it. Well, every 8-10 years or so, the state has adoption cycles. So let's just say we're going to adopt a history book in 2 more years. So it's been 8 years. Your book's getting older. You're going to adopt a new book. So the state will give you, and we'll make it easy again, they'll give you $100 per kid to adopt a book, right? So do the math. That's how much you're going to get to adopt new textbooks. Now, the bad news is that you only get to choose from the textbooks that are adopted and okayed by the state. So they may have 7 different or 6 different or however many different versions of books, Glencoe, Macmillan, different publications that you can choose from. But they're all blessed by the state.
So it's the illusion of choice.
For sure. You have a choice, but the choice is horrible.
Yes.
Right? I don't want any of them because they all deal with critical race theory. They all try to rewrite history. They all try to blame Martin's a racist because his great-granddad lived in South Carolina in the early 1900s. So they're all in there. So my advice would be, first of all, we don't want those textbooks. There's enough information on the internet that I could put my own curriculum together.
Right.
I can do that.
And most teachers do.
When I was a teacher, that's all we did because the books we had were 20 years old, so they weren't even any good anymore. So we had to put our curriculum together. So I don't want those books. I don't need those books. I don't want that money.
And you shouldn't be – if you can get it in a different way that's cost-effective and not going to cost a ton of money, why wouldn't you?
Internet's free.
So they won't allow you to make the decision what you want to have taught in the schools or what books. Wonder if you say, no, I don't want any of those books. I want to do this.
That's an excellent question. And yes, you could, but you're paying for it. They're not giving you money for it. Right? You're not getting that. You have to adopt one of their books. Martin said it perfectly. The illusion of choice. So my recommendation is every single one of those 84%, and we need to figure out who the other 16% were. I think it was 84% you said.
Yes, it's 84%, and then furtherance on it, it showed that 12% said they didn't care, and let's see, I'll have to pull it up again. I had it right. Okay, 12% said they disagreed, and 5% said they were not sure. Okay. So
they don't know what curriculum is.
Right, they don't, yeah.
They can't spell the word.
Well, and basically what it sounds like you're saying on this is that you can improve, or you can agree upon a book for one of the approved indoctrination courses, or you can make your own curriculum out of your own money,
sure.
Excluding taxpayer
sure,
money.
Sure, sure. Or like, you know, the internet doesn't cost you anything. You've already got that, right? You could, mm-hmm. I could put, if I had the internet in the 90s when I was a teacher, how great would that have been?
Well, there's places right? like the Khan Academy, and there's all kinds of free sources and free videos. That a lot of it, I mean, so for instance, my wife and I, we're homeschooling our children over this same very thing. We don't want them to be in these schools. We don't want them to be indoctrinated by these things. I was homeschooled, and my experience is I graduated at 16 years old. I went on to start 3 businesses, and I'm better off than most people are based upon my education growing up and what my parents did for me. Now, my wife, conversely, she came out of the Chicago, Illinois school system, and she said it was abysmal. She didn't really know math. She didn't really have a good understanding of math and felt it was too difficult and felt that she couldn't do it. Well, I sat down with her, and within about 5 days, she was completely understanding math, and it completely changed her vision on it. She said, why didn't they teach me this in school? And the simple fact of the matter is we've had an education system that has been failing us because we want a certain percentage of the children to fail out and work in these manufacturing jobs and work in these labor jobs. This has been well documented from people like Robert Kiyosaki, who was in the education system, and his father was in the education system in Hawaii. They need a certain percentage of these kids to fail out, and that's why they operate on these bell curves in a lot of these places. That's unacceptable. No kid should be left behind just because they're at the bottom of a bell curve and are not getting the teaching and the education that they need to be able to persist and exist.
And with that, I do believe we got a caller, or you want to say something?
I just had
something?
One thing to add. If they had used the internet back in the 90s, do you know how many kids wouldn't have bad backs anymore from carrying all
What do you mean?
Books?
We didn't work. We didn't do anything like that. And with that, I believe it's Siskiyou Steve is on the line. Are you there, Steve?
Yeah, I'm here.
You have a question?
I listened to Brian last week at on Terry's show, and I tried to... he said he would come up here and speak with our groups. And the one lady that I talked to about it, she said, well, why would I want to bring him up here? And, you know, because I just hung up on it. I thought that was ridiculous. You know, why wouldn't you want to bring such a guy up here that's a dynamo and has experience up here with this school board up here? I'd like to hear more about your... experience with the Siskiyou school board up here. You said you were up here briefly. And then the other question is, or the other statement I'd like to make is that what you were just talking about with the money and the books and the state, you know, we all know that California is 100% corrupt. And, you know, we have 23 counties supposedly still interested in the state of Jefferson. And again, let's hold our money in our counties. I know that's a big far-fetched idea, but, you know, if we keep on working on it like we are working on the constitutional governments or the constitutional counties, you know, that we're trying to do now, and one county at a time, you guys down there are doing an incredible job down there with all the new board members that you're have them running and everything. It's just great. But we only have a party, maybe a 5 up here that are actually in-your-face kind of people. I'm one of them. But I'd like to hear more about his experience up here in Siskiyou County, because if I can ever get in front of the board, I need some ammo. And you know, again, thanks you guys for being here.
Thanks.
All right, okay, thanks for calling in. You want to go ahead and take that, Brian?
Sure, sure. I had an absolute wonderful experience in Scott Valley. I worked for Scott Valley Unified School District for a couple of years. the best people that you're ever going to meet in the world.
We're out of Fort Jones or Etna?
Fort Jones and Etna. Schools in Fort Jones and Etna. I lived in Fort Jones, but we had a couple schools in Etna and a couple schools in Fort Jones. Salt of the earth people. Wonderful. Most beautiful place on earth that I've ever lived, to be honest with you. However, one incident that I had, the only incident that I can ever think that I've ever had a problem with up there was I had a school board member that I had an issue with, or a couple of them. And mind you, a couple of them were just great. A couple of them were just wonderful people, but it only takes a few to rock the boat. I had an issue up there with a kid. I can't remember now if he was in fourth grade or fifth grade, but he was bullying other kids and really bullying them. And I talked to my principal about it that worked at that school. I'll take care of it. Well, the bullying continues. I'm getting calls, and people are coming into my office saying, well, why is this happening to my kid? Now my kid. And it's always the same kid that's doing the bullying. So I decided one day to, I'll take care of it, right? Mm-hmm. The buck stops with me, so I'll go take care of it. So I got that kid, talked to him. He admitted to bullying other kids. So I said, okay, well, you know, you're suspended for 2 days or three, whatever it was. I don't even remember what it was now. It was several years ago. Suspended him, let's say, for 2 days. Well, my board president got a hold of me and said, well, you can't suspend him. He's a good kid. I said, well, he's suspended. He's bullying other kids. He's hurting other kids physically and emotionally. She said, well, his parents do great things for the community. Well, come to find out, and I didn't know this at the time, they were best friends.
Right.
That board president and the parent were best friends. You know, so I don't pay attention to those things because it doesn't matter to me. I go do my job. I go home to my family, and, you know, that's my world.
It shouldn't make
right, right. I don't care. So I told my school member or sent an email off to everyone and said, hey, look, there's a bullying problem here. I took care of it. If you have any bullying problems, I will take care of them. Just let me know personally. I'll take care of them. So next board meeting, which is a few days later, they put me on leave. So now I'm the bad guy.
Wow.
They hire an attorney, doing an investigation. Did Brian break any rules by sending out a letter to the staff or telling them what happened? Well, of course not. That your job as a leader is to inform the staff of things that are going on. So that went on for a couple weeks. They put me on leave, and I said, look, I can't work here anymore. I can't do this. So what I did is said, look, I'll be gone at the end of the year, which was 6 or 7 months later, and then I ended up just finding another job. So it was just horrible. It was just horrible to me. So
the nepotism, the favoritism at the expense of children's well-being.
Yeah, and with that, we need to go to a break, and we'll pick this up on the other side. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR. 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Sunday, once again, it is a beautiful day out there.
Well, there was a lot of conversation going on during the break.
Right.
I would like, Martin, to go over about what you were saying about teachers having the choice of exactly what they're teaching or how they're teaching or what. I don't think a lot of parents realize this piece to the system.
Right. So I've been a teacher for 9 years in high school. Every teacher under the law has the right to teach the curriculum they want to teach in their classroom that's aligned with the state Common Core standards, right? So okay. they don't have to use the textbook, and most teachers don't use the textbook that the district adopts.
That's a big word, aligned. What does that mean?
So if you look up Common Core state standards, just Google it. If whatever you're teaching in your classroom fits that description, you have the autonomy and the authority to teach it how you see fit.
So they don't have any outlined points that you have to adhere to as long as you're in the general subject matter?
The standards.
Okay.
The standards are what you're supposed to hit. So, I mean, if you give me a couple minutes and talk to Brian, I can look up a few standards.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious because, you know, if they say Common Core has to be taught, which means that, you know, you have to do math backwards, you know, do I have to do that, or do I want to teach them 2 plus 2 is 4, or do I want to teach them 2 plus 1 plus 1 minus 3 to the fifth power is 5? You know, I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
They don't get that specific.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
So here's an example. For English language arts, grade 1, one of the standards is ask and answer questions about key details in a text.
Okay, so that gives you some leeway.
As a first grader, you have to be able to ask good questions about what you're reading and about the details in whatever you're reading. And so the teacher has the authority to pick the reading material, but they have to get that approved by the school district. They can't just bring in any old book. They have to get it approved by the school board and adopted. Otherwise, they're stuck with the textbook that's been adopted by the
school
board.
That could be a problem depending on the teacher. You could have a good teacher, you could have a bad teacher.
But they can also throw in little supplemental materials, like an article here or there, and they don't have to get that approved at all.
Right.
They just pick that at their discretion.
Right.
Right. So good teachers will look at a flawed textbook and they'll skip some pages or chapters and they'll balance out the information there with other supplemental curriculum, and they have the authority to do that. So what's happening in California and all across the nation in liberal states is the laws empower and enable some really leftist teachers to run wild.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
And
yeah.
that's the challenge you're facing as a parent. How do you stop that? Well, you can't really stop it at the school board level too much. Brian could do some training if he gets into superintendent of schools here, and that would help a little bit.
But who hires the teachers? Could we get better teachers based on the parents' input?
The teachers' union is so powerful. You can the superintendent and the principal hire the teachers. But once they have tenure, which takes 2 years in California,
that's crazy.
You can't fire them unless they refuse.
Yeah, because if the book they're reading is Mein Kampf, and I've got a descendant of Hitler teaching my kids,
right,
that could be a problem because they're not given any alternative viewpoints. You
right,
know?
Right. Mean, you know. So I think parents are feeling powerless right now. What you really need to do is vet your teacher and put the pressure on them and look at the homework that your kid brings home. And if there's anything that smells funny in it, you go email the teacher and you CC the principal, the superintendent, and the school board. And you put them on notice.
Put pressure on them.
So,
right. Yeah.
So it's almost like the parent needs to interview.
Involved.
Well,
you do.
Not just
you have
involved,
to be involved,
but actually get
watch them
an
like a
interview,
hawk.
Sit the teacher down and say,
right.
This, and that. Is this what you're putting before my child?
See, the problem I have with that is this, okay, is that some of us don't have that much time to do that. Both parents
right.
are working, and we just pulled ours out and put them in different schools that we know the teachers.
That's a quick fix.
Yeah, it
right.
is a quick fix, but it's not going to be a long-term fix for the education system.
No. So, you know, we're facing a massive cultural problem. You can't change it overnight. Getting Brian Caples elected is a small step, and he'll be able to do a little bit.
In the right direction.
Right direction, Board of Supervisors, getting good school board members into power and vetting them and making sure you vote for a school board member who's not going to force mask your children.
But you can, okay, but.
Those types of things.
But
you have to get good people in power, and that will slowly change our
but
culture.
But that will also change the teachers at, so you can have teachers. You know, who hires and fires the teachers? You might not be able to hire and fire them from the perspective of their job, but they can be transferred to other districts. I mean, there's ways to get rid of some of these bad eggs, isn't there?
Well, as a superintendent and as a principal, I'm in those classes.
Okay.
A lot of principals and superintendents don't take the time or make the time to go into those classrooms. I'm in those classrooms constantly. So those
so
things,
see.
I'm, oh, absolutely. I'm seeing what's on the walls. Mm-hmm. You know, I've said this before.
Well, that's like the guy down in Sacramento. The guy's got Che Guevara all over the walls and he's a total communist.
Right, we got that right here in our own county.
The principal doesn't even know it.
Right.
So it's by the same token. I wouldn't want somebody having political, it's against the law. You're not supposed to have political stuff on your walls. You're also, as a godly man, you're also not supposed to have a Christian flag on your wall. So I'd have to ask you to take that down too,
right?
We're not there to influence our children politically or religiously or in any other way other than to give them a quality education.
That should be up to the parents.
Sure. When I was growing up, I tell you, and I'm going to ask you probably the same thing, I didn't know what political affiliation my teachers were. I had no idea.
Me neither.
Because it wasn't important. It didn't matter what it was. They were there to teach us. Now, I'll take it a step further. What they're doing to Martin is horrendous. It is criminal. It is criminal what they're doing. This man, forget about all the things that he's done for education. He actually taught two of my children. And one of my boys said, one of my favorite all-time teachers.
Explain to us, what are they doing that is criminal here? What's the real problem?
Martin, you want to do it?
Well,
let Martin, you want to tell us?
Yeah, well.
He knows exactly. Unfortunately, he knows exactly what to say.
Well, I've loved teaching for 9 years. I've taught high school English, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, and 10th grade honors, and I've coached golf, tennis, basketball, and mock trial and newspaper club. So I've been involved, and I loved it, right? The reason they're firing me is because I'm refusing to take the nasal swab. That's it. I haven't done anything else wrong. In fact, from my perspective, I think a lot of students appreciate me.
What was your do you have performance evaluations that were, you know, good up to the point where
exactly.
this whole thing started?
All my performance evaluations have been good. Not a single problem.
Well, and from what I've seen as well, I actually saw a bunch of students, because I've been following your story and following what's been going on, I saw a bunch of students that were high-fiving you in videos and going on TikTok and things like that for the fact that they felt that you were standing up for them, because they feel alone in this.
They
feel like their parents have been sending them off to these places that are basically – prison. I mean, really, you've got to slap a mask on your face. You've got to sit down and shut up and do exactly what you're told. And right now what we're seeing in our system is we're seeing these parents of these kids, and we have pictures and all these things to where these parents are unmasked, but you've got these five-year-olds in masks that are there right down below them for a photo right. shoot, and it's just disgusting.
So the kids have been told, hey, if you don't put a mask on your face, you're a grandma killer. That is psychological manipulation.
Wow.
That's psychological manipulation. Our culture has told them that. Our news has told them that. And they don't know how to push back against that lie. They don't know how to argue and stand up against that lie. And so maybe that's why they appreciate me.
They're turning them into compliant little, you know, they're molding them into compliance with whatever government edict comes down at that point.
So I had a question for you, Brian, because I want to ask the hard questions. I want to get you on record. But you've touched on it a little bit here about CRT. Is your commitment to our community that if you're elected, you will do everything within your power to keep CRT, critical race theory, telling Tommy that he's racist just because he's white? Is that going to be something that happens within our community, or are you going to put your foot down and stop it?
Well, let me answer you this way. CRT has no business in any of our schools. Hopefully that's a pretty clear statement.
Yeah.
And I'm just the person to say no. I'm just the person to bring it to everyone's attention. No, it has no place. They use terms like equity, equality, right? But those don't really mean that.
Right.
What they mean is we're supposed to give up our rights to make other people feel better.
Well, no. It's right out of 1984. Good means bad and bad means good. They changed the meaning. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
So the other question that I have for you that I want to get on record is you say you're going to be in these classrooms. And the thing about it is, from what I'm hearing and understanding, is you don't have really the ability to hire or fire teachers. That really is going to come from the people that are there, and that's going to be the parents' job to help police that. But what I want from a commitment on you, at least as a parent myself, I want, if you see something in that classroom, I want you to bring it up and let the people know in the board meetings. Is that something that we can get your commitment on, that if you're elected, if you see a problem or you see a teacher that's doing this, that you'll call them out before everybody at the board meetings?
Sure, sure. Not only would I do it there, I do it on the radio, I do it in the news, I do it via voicemails, I do it via newsletters. I'm not doing this for fun, right? Mm-hmm. I'm semi-retired. I kind of like that. It was kind of fun the last couple of years to be semi-retired.
Leave the poor guy alone. He just wants to go golfing.
Right, right. I'd rather play golf and hang out with my wife.
Me too.
Now, let me tell you what I can do. And absolutely, I would absolutely bring those things up. Without a doubt. If you knew me, and over the next few months you'll get to know me even better, you'll know that I have no problem doing that. One of the things that I'm looking forward to is training school board members. They are not trained. I've met several just over the last couple of weeks. They've never had any training. They don't know what their responsibilities and rights are. Well, let me tell you what they are. They're twofold. They are to make policy and to hire and fire superintendents. That's their job. So when they say, we can't do anything about these masks, of course they can. They put a policy in place months ago that says that they have to wear the masks.
Right.
And they were given these policies by their superintendents, who were given them by the county office of education.
So they can reject it. They can reject
sure, it. They can just not. Right. You can undo it just as right. easily as you can do it.
And behind the scenes, you have the county office superintendent enabling superintendents and school boards to continue masking and
sure,
continue
sure.
the status quo. And almost putting pressure on them behind the scenes, like, you have to do it. You have to do it. And these school board members think they have to do it.
Right.
They don't know their constitutional rights.
And that's your...
And their power.
And that's what's happening to you with the nose swab.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you,
Brian. No, that's exactly it. I would use the word manipulate, Martin.
Manipulate. That's,
manipulate. I mean, that's my word, right? Manipulate. Because your county superintendent right now...
Who is?
Judy Flores.
Okay.
She was appointed, I think, 5 years ago to the position. Ran unopposed 4 years. Mind you, like I said, I always say I don't want to badmouth her. I don't want to be mean, but I do want to make sure that everyone knows she was never a principal. She was never a school district superintendent. She was promoted from curriculum director to county superintendent of schools, which is a huge leap. And you can see what happens when you don't have any experience or
right.
leadership skills. This is what you get.
This is about riding the ship. This is about making our kids, get a quality education without all this other crap in there.
This is bigger than that. And I've just for our listeners, I mean, this is so much bigger than that. Think about this, you guys. You can vote in a single election right now in 2022 that will make the difference for these next 2 years? Right now, you're voting to shape the minds of the children that will be deciding the future of this nation for the next 80 to 100 years. They're going to become the next teachers. They're going to become the next business owners. That's what you're voting for when you're focusing on these school board elections, and people just don't have an understanding on it when they're looking at these things or a care.
I think Shasta County is starting to set the standard in a lot of things, and I think you getting elected might start swaying the momentum to the right direction.
Well, we have a hard road ahead, but there are a lot of trainings that the county superintendent's office hosts. We call it SCOE, Shasta County Office of Education, that they host for teachers, especially newer teachers all around the county. And that's very influential. The culture that we bring new teachers into is going to shape the way they teach and the way they think for the rest of their career.
Right. So we have to get somebody in, like Brian, in order to shape that in the correct manner. Because
right.
That's what's been happening, is they're just not doing anything with them and just putting them out there and letting them do their own thing without any check.
You better sleep at the wheel.
I think it should be mandatory. The first class you give them is the Bill of Rights.
Right, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. One of the things is some of those trainings, mind you don't want. We don't want our teachers being trained in critical race theory.
Right.
We don't want them saying, because you're white, you're a bad person. We want everybody... Right, we want equal protection. Yeah, we just want every kid to have a chance to grow, to learn, to be nurtured, to have a success. You know, to have the opportunity to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that we can also do is this November. There's the election that I'm running in is June 7th. Now in November, the regular election. This is a primary election in June, but the regular election, a regularly scheduled election, half of your school board members. Remember, there's usually five on a school board. Well, every 2 years, half of those people are up. So either two of them are up or three of them are up. And if there's an open seat, that open seat will be up too. We need principled people to run for these spots. We need people that will go in there because this is going to be over in a month, in a week, in 6 months. The masks are going to come off. Well, all these people think everything's just going to go back to normal. Well, what about the next tragedy that comes along?
Right.
Are they not going to stand up for our kids then, too? Because you didn't do it in the past. The best way for me to be able to tell about what you're going to do in the future is to look at what you've done in the past. Right? So if you're not going to stand up for our kids now, you're not going to stand up for them in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years or 8 years. We need principled people to run for these school board positions. And my wife, we live in the Shasta High School District. There's a gal named Amy Caples. You may recognize the last name.
Mm-hmm.
People are trying to get her to run for Shasta High School Board. She's an educator, been an educator for 20-plus years, mother of four, two sets of twins, would do an excellent job. And she's seriously thinking about
it.
We need to get these people on these boards.
Let me ask you a question. I don't understand, and I'm sure a lot of people don't understand, because we've got all these districts and all these boards and all these different school districts. How does it work? Each board is in each district for each school, so there's five members of each district that gets reelected, three of them every
year. Terms are 4 years, so they're staggered. So you don't ever have all five running at the same time. So every 2 years, either two run or three run. And this is the problem, is that your boards have been told that you have no choice about the masking, the testing, the shots, because in a few months in the summer, they're going to make your children get shots to come back to school. They're going to have to get the COVID-19 shot if they want to come back to school.
Not going
to
happen.
And a lot of people aren't doing it.
No.
My kids are adults. They wouldn't do it. So, that's why I'm so adamant. They have complete autonomy over their district. You ever heard of a gentleman named Tim Garman? Happy Valley Elementary School District?
He stopped
them. They're not firing their teachers because they refuse to mask or that they refuse to do test like they are Mr. Reed. They're not firing them. Think about the man. Think about the man. Mr. Cloney's the superintendent of that high school district. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to sit down and have dinner with that man. How does he go home at night and look his wife in the eye, knowing that what he's doing to this man and others? Martin Reed has a wife at home. He has a little baby at home. He's got a baby on the way.
Right.
How do you do that to another human being? How do you look at yourself? How could I even look at my kids? Shame on you, Mr. Cloney, for doing that.
It's not about me. He's afraid of a revolution. He's afraid of other teachers doing it. He's afraid of students refusing to wear the masks. He's afraid of everyone standing up together and saying we're not doing it anymore because that would upset a lot of the liberal teachers in his school district, and he can't control that. He's afraid of that happening.
It would upset a lot of the money too. Well,
is there a way to get a hold of like a map?
I don't think the state has the guts to do that.
Is there a map where a guy could, you know, like we've got our map of our district supervisors map. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Is there a way that we could put a map out that would show each school district and who's on each board so that we could actually maybe target some different things to get done in the different school boards by doing a little homework on it? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if there's a map, but there is a girl with Freedom Foundation that is getting a list together.
Freedom
of all
Coalition?
Coalition, yeah, I'm sorry. Camille King, I believe is her name. But she was going to put all the different offices that were coming up.
It should be on the Shasta Freedom Coalition website soon if it's not up already.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what we're going to do for Mr. Reed when the time comes. They're trying to fire him. When I get in office, Mr. Reed and I will, and every other person that they've done this to in any other district, the County Office of Education and Brian Caples as your school county superintendent will be backing Mr. Reed with all of the resources that we have at the County Office of Education, whether they be financial, whether they be with our attorneys. We will be fighting each one of these school districts. He's already put on – they're not paying him.
Right.
They're not even paying – now, mind you, if he had 5 years worth of horrible evaluations, he did horrible things to kids, he didn't come to work half the time, they couldn't fire him for that because he's in the union,
right,
and they'll protect him. He's standing up for his rights, just like Rosa Parks did. You don't look anything like Rosa Parks. She was probably prettier than you. But
maybe.
He's a modern-day Rosa Parks. He's not giving up his seat. He's not, and he's doing it at the peril of his family.
Right.
He's not getting a check right now. His wife is a teacher also, but she's staying home to work to raise her children. What they're doing to this man is horrible. And Mr. Cloney is telling his board that they need to fire him, that they need to get rid of him. Forget about how much money they're spending on attorney fees.
So
right? Forget about that.
Have you actually been fired yet, or is this all?
No, it takes 4 to 6 months to fire any teacher in California because of all the laws in place.
Red tape.
Right. Yeah. When you start that process with the school board, they put you on unpaid leave, and then at the end of that process, if you win, it goes in front
of
a judge.
Pay you back.
Yeah, it goes in front of a judge. If you win, they get you back pay and reinstated. If you lose, you're fired. So it's a long process. So I'm just along for the ride.
And I take it it's one of their judges.
I think a third party selects the judge.
And it would depend on their political leanings, probably.
So I would
see what happened to Mr. Reed.
I would see also that there's probably schools out there that would love to have a teacher like you, you know, in this area that, you know, are not going to do the mandates or not doing the swabs, who are actually trying to, and I think that's growing because personally, I pulled all my kids out right away and put them in private. You know, I'm lucky I can afford them. I know the teachers, but I think that's going to be more and more of a trend as well, and that might be an option for you.
Are you saying that some of the schools would want a principled man as their teacher?
I know. It's crazy.
What I'd like to see is this man leading our schools.
Right.
As a principal, as an administrator, as a superintendent, that's what I would like to see. He does a wonderful job in the classroom, and I can attest to that because both of my boys had him as a teacher. I think I mentioned that earlier. Loved him. And they didn't love him because he was sweet and he was cuddly. They loved him because he cared about him. He loved him because he paid attention to him. He knew their names. He talked to him about sports. He made a relationship with those boys, or my boys. And I know if he did it with my kids, he did it with, I didn't even know him at the time, so.
Well, some of the best people I remember when I was growing up in education were teachers that were mentors, you know, that mentored me, you know, whether it was reading or arithmetic or drama or whatever it happened to be. Sure. But those teachers that were dynamic and liked doing what they were doing, and they did it with integrity, those are the guys that all the kids seem to gravitate to, in my book.
We're getting down to the end of the show. I didn't mean to interrupt you, so we need to
get... Oh, we only got 3 minutes,
contact information. Let them know about your fundraiser and whatever else you want to get out there.
Sure. What I'd like to say real quick, though, is I don't think Mr. Reed should be fired. I think Mr. Cloney should be fired.
I agree.
And I think those board members should do it now. And I think if they don't, we recall them.
Yes.
Right? I can start a recall myself. Any of us can start a recall.
You might have had some help there.
Very easy. And in fact, if you're interested in that, ladies and gentlemen, please go to votebriancaples.com. There's a button on there. You can contact us and let us know if you want to help with that. It's just not right. It's just not right. You want to talk? I'm sitting next to a principled man. The man that's trying to fire him is not principled. In the old days, what do we do? What do we do to people like that in the old days? We tarred and feathered them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In the city square. We ran them out of town.
Take them to the woodshed, so to speak, anyway.
Right. This will not happen. I will not let this happen. I will fight with tooth and nail for this man and anybody else that's going through it. So we can recall board members very easy. It wasn't easy to recall Mr. Modi. Board members easy. We just got to walk a couple neighborhoods.
Well, that's what we just seen in San Francisco.
Sure.
Was the dynamic. Three of the board members got recalled, and it wasn't even close. Right. It was like 75-25.
Sure. Okay, I'm gonna make a motion right now that Mr. Clooney be fired at the next board meeting.
So how do they get a hold of you? When's your fundraiser? Because we're on the countdown.
Sure. Brian Caples. VoteBrianCaples.com, VoteBrianCaples.com. That's our website. We're on Facebook at Elect Brian Caples. Fundraiser's coming up March 26th at the Anderson VFW. We're going to have a fundraiser. Great food. Dill's Deli and Barbecue's doing the barbecue and food. You've heard me say this 100 times. You can never go wrong with Dill's. So we're excited to have them.
Delicious.
We're excited to have them with us. Great Patriots, too. Every Friday, I do a coffee with Caples. So this weekend, we'll be in Anderson at Becca's Cafe, 8 to 10. If you want to stop by, we'd love to see you.
I think we're at the end of the show.
Well,
and as
thank
always.
Thank you guys for coming in. We'll have to have you back, especially if you start running for office.
Oh, my gosh. Don't get me involved. Thank you so much.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. We'll see you guys next week.
Freedom is the only thing.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.